to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running. Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach, we were talking recently, and I've seen some posts about it. It was interesting. You brought it up to me, and then I saw some posts about the Boston Marathon and how they're curtailing the number of people, I guess, they'll let in. And you can go into more depth. But one of the things that I saw that I thought was interesting is a friend of mine that is a self-proclaimed, quote-unquote, slow runner, back-of-the-pack runner, that they're going to cap the marathon at 6 hours, and they're also going to be capping the amount of charity runners. But it also brings up some other comments that you saw, and what were you seeing about the whole rigmarole that's happening, the whole drama that's happening around this Boston Marathon thing?
Well, the challenge is, so marathons in general just are so, they're fastest growing distance, I guess, in popularity. And so I saw, for example, the London Marathon, they had almost close to 1 million people apply to run. And wow, the year before it was 500,000. So almost double the number of people are wanting to run this race. And it's one of the bigger charity races where people
Isn't it also part of raising money? I'm going to name it wrong, but it's called like the Star. It's like Tokyo, London, Chicago,
New York, and Boston. It's one of the, yes, exactly. It's a destination marathon. And yes, it's one of the marathon majors, I think they call it.
Yeah.
So one of the comments, and they thought, you know, so Boston is notorious, very famous for, you need to have a certain pace to get into Boston. You have to qualify for it. So most other marathons, you either sign up and just register, or they'll have a lottery system. So where you put your
Chicago
name in
New York. Chicago got to a lottery, thankfully, after I ran it.
Yeah, and New York is a lottery marathon as well. So what happens then is, so we're going to talk about the commentary. So you're right. So a lot of more people are running marathons, and a lot more people are raising money, which are both amazing and good things. So because Boston is already a time limited, I guess, event, they added that they decided to make it even more competitive because they have so many people qualifying.
Yeah.
So of course, there's a big, you know, and you and I have been around a long time. So for me, my first marathon, I think there was less than 1,000 people running the marathon. And even the guy said, you know, you guys are like, and it's still, by the way, a very small number of the whole population, but you never would have thought, oh, I'm not going to get into the marathon. If anything, people are like, why are you doing this?
Exactly. So, who's chasing you? Is a bear chasing you?
Yeah. And also back then, by the way, and this is just the way running was running. So like you ran a marathon. You weren't out there trying to finish it. You were trying to like run the whole time marathon.
Right.
So that was the beginning of marathons. And then it started to become this finish event. Like I just want to finish. So a lot more people came in and there was a lot of run walking going on. So the first comment was people used to say, well, that's not really running because you're running and walking. And so then this thing came up with, you know, are you really a runner? Which now, by the way, just sounds ridiculous because the reality is, if you just get out there and run, of course you're a runner. Like, you know, I don't have any judgment.
Yeah.
Now, are you a competitive runner? Are you out there racing? Like, those are different conversations.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have said, well, let's start making marathons all like Boston, where you have to qualify to get in based on pace. And then, of course, people will say, well, that's not really fair. Like, why should you not be able to have the opportunity to run just because of your time? So I think that's where a lot of people started. And I know like famous runners, like Jeff Galloway was the first guy or the first coach and athlete to start saying, hey, it's okay to walk. You can walk, run. And he started this kind of walk, run method, which now seems really intuitive, by the way. Guys, you got to remember, this is like years later. And usually most people in the beginning marathon was to test not just your endurance, but to test your speed under time, over time, I guess.
Right.
And so people will still say to us all the time, like we hear this all the time, I'm not really a runner. I only run halves. Yeah. I'm not fast. Like it's always a put down. And we say, if you run, you're a runner. If you want to run, we can help you become a better runner, more efficient runner, you know, with byproducts of running, of course, longer, faster. That's always like a great byproduct. But the idea of I'm only a runner if I run a marathon or a certain distance or a certain pace.
Or a certain time, right, or a certain pace, right.
Right, right. So I think the distinction needs to be not am I a real, like the word real running to me, that just sounds, just sounds wrong.
Condescending.
Yeah.
Sounds very condescending.
But you can say I am a competitive runner.
Right.
You know, I think that is fine. I'm an age group runner. But you're a runner. And however you want to, if you don't want to distinguish with anything, then just say I run. I'm a runner.
Yeah.
And for us, like the best part about what we teach is the physical movement of running, and it, which helps also with your mindset, because then you're out running and it's a, that's the first and foremost. I mean, somebody just shared on our page, it was a woman, I'm not sure where she's from, but she was wearing a skirt, like a sari type skirt, and she is finishing a marathon and she's just kind of dancing through, and you know, who's to say she
had
not,
a lot of joy.
Yeah.
It looked like she had a lot of joy on her face. Yeah.
She was just right. She was just enjoying the moment of running her marathon. And so I'm like, she's a real runner just as much as the person that won the race is a competitive runner. And, you know, obviously I commend anyone that runs has the ability and the talent to do that and be competitive. And we train people both ways. We have a lot of people that want to qualify for Boston, and it is kind of a great challenge. I think that having a race that allows that side of the competition field to come out and see what they can do is really exciting, because there's so many great races, right? So then I would tell someone, if you really want to run a marathon or run a marathon, you know, then run a marathon without any stigma, just, you know, to run it.
Right.
And so, but that's the first thing I saw, you know, when they, that, and that's what, you know, Caroline and I were talking about, that there was people when we were just getting started into marathons, you know, now it's 25 years ago. Like I said, Jeff Galloway, who himself had run a lot of really fast marathons. And then there was also, I know you followed him. What was the Penguin guy?
Oh, yeah. John Bingham is a good one.
Right.
And then
right.
So
he was like,
Hal Higdon.
He started, who?
Hal Higdon, isn't he one?
Yeah.
And
again, he's more for like anyone that just wants to try running. Here's some marathon training, and he's older now. But the John Bingham guy was a runner that was like, hey, I'm in the back of the pack and I'm still a runner. It was like became a thing.
Yeah. So he was big with the rock and rolls, and his whole point was, I may not finish in one day, but I'll still finish. Like he really brought the joy back to the slower runner, that you're just as much of a runner, right? You're training just as hard. It really is a good, it was a great conversation, but I do understand the conversation that people are having that, but should they, quote unquote, should they be allowed to take up space, right? And it's going to sound horrible, but take up a spot where a quote unquote real runner would be. And I'm saying real runner, you mean competitive runner. But what I also found interesting is this idea of, do you believe in like that 6-hour cap or that 5-hour cap? And what I thought was fascinating, and at least a lot of people, runners and non-runners alike, on this woman's conversation, because she was just like, I want your input. If you're not a runner, I'm just curious what you think. That a lot of people brought up the fact that, hey, it closes down cities, right? It closes down traffic. You have to, at some point, say, I'm sorry, if you're going to walk a marathon and it's going to take you 12 hours, we can't support you, the people, the police, the everything that you're doing.
Right.
And so I think that's where some people kind of beat themselves up and say, I'm a back of the pack runner. But I agree with you that running is running, right?
And then I would say, y'all should go out and sign up for a trail run where they're out there for 12 to 24 hours or even longer with really cheerful aid stations.
It's funny.
I'm half joking, but I'm not. When I switched from marathons to trail running, I was like, these are the friendliest people I've ever met.
My coach before I met you had done, he was only a road runner. He'd only done roads.
Right.
So he decided to do that three runs here in Texas. He was trying to do that. And his first time out, he was running up and down the hills. And every time he'd go up the hills, he'd pass people that were walking up the hills. And at one of the aid stations, he asked somebody, he was like, because they were like, dude, you're going to kill yourself. Just, you know, it's not the same as a road race. Like they were explaining that, no, save your body because it's so technical. Walk up the hill and then let the gravity take you back down. And I thought that was fascinating. Like you're saying, it's just a different mentality. It is about finishing. It's not about how fast you go. Right.
Right. And everybody wants to give you nice tips. I think too, and we've had this discussion, like, for me, what is a real runner? And just to kind of go back to this conversation, like I love seeing how many people are signing up for these races and runs. Like, and a lot of it, like a lot of people, it was through that COVID time where they found running. And so like we just saw in China, for example, this across the country, they had 500,000 runners participate in 50 different events. And they call them marathons, but some were half marathons. And, you know, in almost every marathon, you can run a 5K, a 10K, or a half, or a full. And what we really try to get across is the marathon's amazing, but also the foundation to build up to a marathon is the journey is really nice as well. So, like, spend time in the beginning just running. First, just running, like, really just enjoying running. And then go with 5K and then a 10K and then a half and get to that marathon. I think a lot of people think I'm going to go for it, you know, and they sign up for that 26 too. And it's like, first, like enjoy running. Like to me, that's where real running comes in. And then you want to sign up for events and races.
That's really important, especially if you are, as I was a 5-hour marathoner at the time. And it was, you know, you have to really enjoy running to be out there for 5 hours, right? Like you have to, can't be something that you, oh, I really don't like doing this, but now I'm going to go out and do it for 5 hours. Really? You know, get started with the joy of running. And I wanted to kind of pivot just ever so slightly. We've had somebody recently that did a lot of triathlons that was going to try something. I didn't read her whole post in our members, but she wants to try something different for the summer. And you agreed with her to start looking at the 5K as her summer goal. Can you explain briefly? Because that sounds like that's a great way for her to kind of reset and rebalance where she is in her training.
Well, by the way, it was also very funny because she said, how do I change my mindset that it's not just 3 miles? And this is a big issue in endurance training, guys, the mentality, the mindset that if I'm not out there grinding and sweating and working for hours, then I'm not training. And it's not really true. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean you never need to do distance, but what happens is if you're always doing that long, long training, what happens to for most of our triathletes, for most of our distance runners, we see an increase in injury. And to pull back and take a season and work on your elasticity and your strength and your mobility and your speed, which isn't to say anything against distance, but taking a season to do that, it resets both your body and your mind. And the challenge I have, and what's funny is as soon as I brought this up, several other people came in with, when you run something like a 5K, it's an all-out event, meaning from the start to the finish, you are redlining. And you've got to find that red line. And a lot of endurance athletes never find, except for the finish, because they're always holding back, right? That thought of, I've got to keep going. I've got to hold a little back. And I was that person, guys. I was that runner for years, triathlete that way for years. I was always in that, now they call it zone two. Okay. What, you know, the idea is I'm staying at somewhere I can hold for a long time. Well, when you actually train for a real 5K, which I have done, and I was like a 24, 25 minute 5K-er, and I got down to my fastest was 19:02. I could not break that 19, or I just didn't. But I did like 19:02, 19:04, lots of 19s. And breaking that 20 barrier was, first of all, it was an accomplishment for me. I didn't know I had that kind of potential. And second, it opened my body to being able to run comfortably at a higher fall angle. And that's important because for a lot of us, we don't realize how much work we're putting in our run, where we think we're working harder, but we're actually just working harder.
Yeah. Rather than smarter. That's for sure.
Yeah. And when you start to learn, and the only way to learn, and this is important, is to feel yourself let go. And this is really cool mindset wise, because the letting go aspect of running, it's hard to understand it till you kind of let us take you through it. And you don't even realize, but it frees your body and it frees your mind in a way that, like, people will talk about, like that running high, that running zone, that running zen, all that kind of stuff. You realize that what it actually is you becoming more efficient in your running. And you didn't even realize you were holding so much tension, you know, and then you lose tension. I mean, and so I said to her, the reason I want her to do it is because I want her to find another gear, another level that she has that she doesn't realize yet she has. And it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find it without help. Like without a coach, without a training partner, without someone that even just to say, oh, you can totally do this. You know, I think a lot of runners, a lot of, you know, I know we started with this real running conversation,
right?
And a lot of the runners that come in to us to RunRx have all trained endurance. Like they've all done the long training, the long distance training, you know, always running half marathons, full marathons, you know, going out for those hour, those 2 hour runs. So I'm like, try training for a real 5K, like actually train for a 5K. And it's interesting. It's immediately, there's two things. One is, oh my gosh, that doesn't seem like very much running.
Right.
Except when you actually start training for it, you realize it is enough running. One. Secondly, to take someone to actually let go in their run, really the only way to do that is to connect with what we teach. And this just, it's called falling. It's just letting your body fall. And you don't realize how much you hold back. So in the beginning, a lot of people think running faster is about working harder. And what we actually teach you is you've been working harder and not running any faster. We're going to teach you how to actually let go of all that extra work and really just run. And I'm telling you, I tell people this all the time. I ran for years and years and years and years. I ran marathons. I ran, you name it. I ran all the time. I actually love running. However, I really wasn't using falling. I didn't understand it. I thought I did. I didn't. And the first time I really fell, like just let go and ran, I felt like a little kid and I like cried a little bit, you know, not like woohoo, but it was
that release, that feeling of,
And, you know, my coach screaming at me, why are you not falling? And I'm thinking, I am falling. You know, I'm just like so stubborn. And we see it in all of our runners that come through and they get mad at me, you know, not really mad at me, but kind of, they're like, I'm not
frustrated.
Getting it. I'm like, they get frustrated. And I'm like, I know. But then when they do get it, they're all like, oh, you know, it's like a hallelujah moment. And then I'm like, now you're a runner. Cause now you want to feel that feeling again, whether it's just to run down the street, just run a five, you know, just a 5K run, whatever, you know, like down your
whatever distance
or run your distance. Now you want to run. Like now we can train you to run whatever event because now you understand running. And that to me is like what's missing in runners. Like, you know, not to downplay anyone's ability, but just it's so much more exciting when you're like, oh, I get to go running and feel that running feeling.
So to kind of wind this up, what I wanted to remind everybody, whether you are more like me, where you were excited when you broke the 30-minute mark on your 5K, or you're like Valerie, where you went, oh my God, I broke 20 minutes. And, or if you thought that, oh my God, I'd give anything to break a 20-minute. Like, I can't even fathom that. If that's the kind of runner you are, it doesn't matter. If you're that kind of runner, want to be that kind of runner, you're a 30-minute half marathoner or 40-minute half marathoner. Part of coming in with us is that we teach you how to run more efficiently so that you can hit those, you know, find those places where, like she said, she never thought she could do that before. So we want to help you achieve that. And we hope you'll join us in RunnerX. Just go to runnerx.fit and take a look at how you can work with us. There's many ways you can work with us in the membership. You can join us for our free clinic, not free clinic, I'm sorry, our in-person clinic. It's not a free clinic, that's coming up in June, but we do have a free plan that you can sign up for, or for a small fee, you can go ahead and get the videos that go along with that. We have all sorts of different ways that you can work with us, because that's the whole point. We want to be accessible to where you are in your journey, both with running and financially. So hopefully you guys will like and subscribe and share this podcast with a friend so that we can start maybe gaining in our conversation about running with those out there in your world. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.